What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up, what up? It's Charles or Chuck.
What's going on? You got Matt or Has, another episode of Tweak Talks coming at you. Don't forget to check out the Patreon, patreon.com/tweaktalks, where we upload weekly content. And Gavin's been uploading some solo content as well, including VOD reviews. Very cool stuff going on the Tweak Talks Patreon. I'm going to alley-oop myself here. Hey, Has, how you going? How you doing? How was your weekend? Dude, ooh, it was great. Absolute cinema, bro, is all I got to say. First off, I watched some great TV, is what I got to say. Severance season finale, okay? Invincible season finale, season 3. Someone's got to talk to me about it. None of these bums watch that show. It's so good. That season was incredible. I dipped out of season 2. I'm back in it. It's so good. And then obviously, dude, I watched all of our favorite Japanese tournament going on there. I had a great freaking weekend, man. Watching Oshimo get a W over some really tough matchups too, which we are no stranger to seeing him do, of course. I had a really good, I'm tired though, man. These like 6 a.m. end times, these Japanese tournaments, bro. I don't know. It's so tough. Like Capcom Cup brought it back. Doing it again this weekend for Kowloon. It's ridiculous, but overall an incredible tournament. I had a lot of fun watching. We actually watched a couple tournaments in Discord before you dipped out. Big Gav. Speaking of, how you doing, Gav?
I'm doing all right. I'm tired. Been doing lots of Metafy lessons, and I went to a Yu-Gi-Oh! Regional Saturday morning for the first time. First time playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Outside of my local card shop, so that was cool. There's like 700 freaking people, bro.
Yeah, how many? You did 9 or 10 rounds of Swiss?
10 rounds, yeah.
10 rounds of Swiss, bro. That is a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! It's a lot of card game playing.
I lost 4 and won 6. It's okay. I did okay. I could have done a little better, I think.
Yeah, generally you want to go like X2, X1 or X2, right?
Yeah, X3 maybe can get you somewhere if you're lucky, I think.
But with good tiebreakers, X3, and then X2, you're probably just on to day 2 or the next round or whatever, right?
Yeah. Like Nationals invite. I saw some Smash friends and got recognized by a lot of people. There's a weird connection between Yu-Gi-Oh! And Smash, I'm not going to lie. So many people, I would sit down to play them and they would just say they recognize me and they were like, why do I recognize you? And my response was always, do you watch Smash? and then that's usually all I had to say. But yeah, it was fun. It's interesting because I'm so used to competing for like 10 plus hours or whatever. But I was extra tired from doing this. I don't know. You would think I'd be prepared for a day like that. I really wasn't, bro. It was exhausting.
It's a different game, right?
It's different.
A lot, too. Yeah, and you're kind of new to it, too. I have to imagine, like, the mental exhaust. Like, you put more into every move. Unlike Smash, where, like, you think a little bit less for your early rounds. You were probably sweating bullets every round.
Yeah, it gets me nervous. Like, you can't take a mistake back. Like, you can't, like... In Smash, I feel like there's more room for error, at least in that sense. Like,
yeah, they're a little soft on the ruling nowadays, but you know.
Oh, like you have like one chance to win usually. I feel like, and it's just, I don't know, man. Like in Smash, it's just different. Everything's more adjustable, and
you can. Well, you definitely have a lot more control in Smash. It's to me when you go to a TCG tournament, it's like everyone's pulling the lever on the slot machine and being like, all right, cool. What's my hand for this game? Like, let's see.
Dude, at one
loaded
point.
Loaded into a game with TFT. All right, sick. Like,
at one point, I drew like 3 copies of 2 different cards. And that was like, I was just looking at my hand, like, what can I do with this? Like, in another time, like, no one's going to understand this, but I was shiftered. So I couldn't use my graveyard.
It's a floodgate hand trap.
And I was like, okay, so one of my engines I can't use. So I start playing my other engine. He flips up D barrier, calls Xyz. So I can't use my graveyard, and I can't use my rank 4 engine. So I just lost.
I have an idea for Patreon content. We upload this exact episode without any Yu-Gi-Oh! Talk.
Yeah,
I'd pay for that. $5 right now.
It was fun. Shout out to all the people that helped me out with Yu-Gi-Oh. Yeah, it was fun. I would like to do it again, but I feel like the next couple months of my life are going to be too busy. So, I've been practicing Smash. Once again, kind of like last time. I'm getting prepared for all the events coming up. So, leaving on Thursday for Battle of BC, preparing for my projected bracket, all that stuff. How you doing, Marcus?
I'm chilling. I was debating if I was going to say anything about this or not, but I have a job interview tomorrow. That's weird.
All right. Tell us about it.
And I was like, I'm not going to say anything because a bunch of people watch this, and if like I don't get the job, they're going to be like, well, what the heck happened with that interview? And I'll just never bring it up again. But then I was like, you know, sometimes you just got to put it out there and like live with your failures. Like, it's not even really a failure. I mean, sometimes things just don't work out right. So, I got a job interview tomorrow.
That's exciting. Looking to
start a career and stuff. I know it's weird. It's like a whole rant I can go into about like why I'm doing that and
yeah,
all that. But this is Tweet Talks, not Pink Talks. So, it's a help desk technician position. Yeah.
Save it for Unk Talks, bro. Our spinoff podcast where we talk about how to clean your car and get a job interview and stuff.
True. Yeah, it'll actually transition from Tweak Talks to Unk Talks once Tweak gets like, I don't know, what, 30 years old. Once he hits 30 years old, we're transferring the name.
Next year. Yep. Yeah, that's great.
Wait, next no, year. What? You're 29? Huh? Oh, I was like, whoa, man, time's flying.
Hey, Marcus, that's exciting, Marcus. I'm excited for you. I'm a great interviewer if you want to talk about it.
Okay, I'm down. Yeah. I've been panicking for like 5 days, so, or like 4 days or something like that. So, we can chat about it.
B just got a new job.
I remember you saying that last episode. Yeah,
you should hit up Bam too. Bam knows a lot about interviews and stuff too. So, just like a lot of experience and shit.
This is an employed ass podcast. True.
Hey, all good. And hey, lock it in, Chuck. Bring it on home.
Yeah, so this weekend was fun for me. I worked all week, got a lot of stuff done. And then this weekend, there was actually a collegiate event at a college that's like a 5 or 10 minute drive away from me. It's the UH West Oahu. So the west side of the island, it's the state college there. So yeah, it was really cool. It was, if you don't know or follow collegiate Smash, a lot of it is crew battles. So all the different colleges will have Smash teams. They do crew battles. So Michigan State and a couple Boise State players actually flew down to Hawaii for this event. So it was really cool. Michigan State was very dominant in their performance for the collegiate crew battles. Very expected. I was very excited for the singles bracket though. Like the crew battles was fun to commentate. I still went down there. It was a 2-day event. Still went down there, supported, commentated, right? Always love seeing the college events, love supporting things like bigger regionals, even things like KauaiCon. I'm always going to go to if I'm around, right? So yeah, this event was no different. And then there was a singles bracket on Sunday. So that's what I was excited about. I wanted to see like Michigan State, Boise State players play up against the local Hawaii PR. And I was like, all right, Hawaii's going to defend. We got this. Hawaii got fucking smoked, man. What the fuck?
But it happened. They did pretty well at KauaiCon. I know I wasn't here for the episode, but Hawaii showed up at KauaiCon, man. None of the same players there.
Big Sue was there. Big Sue did not even get top 8, I think.
What?
Yes.
That's surprising.
Banjo, bro. There was a Michigan State had a nice banjo player. I actually played that banjo player in bracket. It was fun. Had a lot of cool grenade tricks and was definitely edgeguarding me with Wonder Wing. But it was crazy too because he actually ended a game versus Stu, and Stu dropped low on Kalos, and then he actually ended up going Wonder Wing into the stage to unteckable Kazuya and kill Kazuya fairly. I was like, wow. I mean, if you are a player that, I mean, I don't want to say like a low tier main, but a player that plays a character that's not as represented, right? Like you're going to have all the different tricks and stuff. So it was cool. A Ridley player from Michigan State actually won the tournament as well. So shout outs to Rydra. Great Ridley player from Michigan State. So it was cool. We got to see a lot of different characters and also some familiar characters like Kazuya and stuff. I always have fun just commentating Smash, no matter the level, and especially if it's for my local scene. I'm from Hawaii, so it's like my home region, so it means a lot to me to see these kinds of events, see all the college kids enjoy esports activities that are now available that wasn't so available when I was younger. But it's cool to see the transformation, right? So yeah, I had a really good, I had a fun weekend. Unfortunately, since I was competing and playing, or I was competing and commentating at that event, I didn't have too much time to watch the Smash events that happened on the weekend. So I'm definitely going to rely on you guys for info on that. But yeah, that was pretty much my weekend. I had a great time. It was fun playing. It was fun commentating. And yeah, I guess we can pivot towards what you guys want to talk about, Kowloon.
Talk about whatever you guys want. I had a great time watching Kowloon, and it was like, I'll always like try to see how long I can last watching a tournament like that goes on that late. And I felt like Ashimo was going to go on a run. And I saw a couple matchups coming up, and I was like, once Ashimo loses, I'm out, basically. Like, I'm going to bed. Happy to say, man. I stayed all the way up till 7 a.m., 6:30 a.m. It happened. Watched the sunrise, all that good stuff. And it was an Ashimo W, which is great. And it was really scary, especially, like, a couple things, obviously. The first one was Raru, who has been a thorn in his side for a long time. You can imagine that that's just a really volatile matchup for Ryu or for any of the Shotos getting grabbed. Just like, it's a death. I mean, everyone in the cast can kind of relate to that. Most characters in the cast can relate to that. So it's just scary, especially because Ryu, like, you like to throw fireballs in that matchup. You throw one unsafe fireball, you don't space correctly or something, he runs up on you. It's going to be a problem. I just love watching Ashimo play. Playing against one match I was really excited to watch. I was nervous watching him play against Carmelo, that really good Steve who made a run. Wasn't nervous particularly like for that matchup because it was a really good C player, but obviously Ashimo's beaten Akola before, so it's like, okay, this is like kind of scary, but at the same time I feel like what we're seeing in Ultimate, I was kind of thinking of it like a bigger picture way, is the super character specialist who's beaten the best character of or the best player of that character, right, of the best character in the game. The super character specialist comes up, and I just felt confident that he would do well against Carmelo. Like, he knew the amount of knowledge he has in that matchup versus the amount of knowledge that Carmelo has in that matchup is just going to be like 1,000 to 1, basically, is how I felt. So even though it is obviously a scary matchup for Ryu or for most characters in the cast, I felt confident. And then, dude, when he hit, and anyone who stayed up and watched or watched the VOD, the parry on the minecart into turnaround Shoryu to end the game, dude, I felt it. I was like, he's going to win this fucking tournament. Like, it's going to be like, this is good. I will stay up is like how I felt. I made another cup of coffee. I watched with EE. Shout out to EE. I love watching tournaments with him. When he sits there and actually does it, he gets up and leaves a lot. I don't know what's up with that. But he just leaves.
Hey, he's talking. You say he's clocking out. Are you ratting out on him right now?
I don't really blame him because like it's a long stream and it's a lot of time. And it was literally like 6 a.m. East Coast, so 3 a.m. West Coast. And he like gets delirious and shit. Like, it's very fun to watch because like I'm feeling it too, you know. I'm like sitting there, I'm like, I'm so tired, but I have to keep watching this tournament. And Phil, like, very well, he reflects that in a very fun way. So I recommend watching with EE or Larry, like any of those guys who stream it. I always watch. I always view it. I'm like, they're my, you know, like remote control, you know what I mean, like Mars or anybody that's watching it, like just flipping between all the channels. I'm like, sweet, I don't have to do it now, like I'll just let someone else do it. That's great. So watching with the EE was great, and he definitely kept it entertaining. Loved watching Raru go on a loser's run. That was super fun to watch. I feel like he's just becoming more and more of a loser's bracket demon. I thought he was going to win the tournament once he turned up and got past, what was it, fifth place. He beat Kaninabe in game 5, and you might be surprised to hear that went game 5, but Kaninabe went all Min-Min, which is cool to see. I feel like, what a great secondary for Foxmane to have. Just makes a ton of sense. Just not even really diving into, and I'm sure Marcus and Charles can jump in there too, but just conceptually, you have your rushdown character Fox, then you have your keep out character of Min Min. Like, it just conceptually makes sense if you could play both sides of the coin like that. And he loves edge guarding with Min Min. So I like watching his Min Min play. I don't know, man. It was such a great tournament. You can't go wrong with these Japanese tournaments, dude. I really feel that way, that the result is going to be interesting pretty much no matter what, whether it's a consistent homestay who's, you know, if it's Akol or Mia, or like, that's great. And that happens all the time, but man, these tournaments, they're amazing, dude. Like I stay up until 6 a.m. watching them. Like, it's no joke, dude. It's no joke. And Gavin tapped out around 3 a.m. I'm going to rat him out. He was tired. Like, too much Yu-Gi-Oh. He was out.
Yeah. I'm not watching, bro. I was too tired.
You were not, you're not nearly as amused by Ryu's neutral air as I am. I'm like, whoa, fade away neutral air. Hell yeah.
Osimo has some of the best advantage state sequences. Let's keep it real. Yes.
He does. It's insane. He's a great parrier, which you say about every Shoto player ever, but it's not like Jazu, where like that's like his main, you know what I mean? Like that's like a main thing he has. Like obviously Ashimo's a great parrier and uses it in his kit, but it's not like the number one thing I think of with him, which I think is a credit to his flexibility or his versatility as a player. Because I feel like, and I'm guilty of this too, playing a Shoto, is that you think about parrying way too much. And then obviously you start getting, you know, tomahawk grabbed and all that shit, and it just sucks. And Ashimo's defense is just so strong between his fireball. We were talking about it before we went live, but his fireball game and the way he stays grounded, the way he shields, like he's just so good, dude. And then like you said, Charles, then it's explosive on hit. He'll play the patient game all day, then make you pay for it once he lands a good hit. So yeah. It's just amazing. It's just crazy to me to say, you know, we've kind of had some Doomer episodes recently where we talk about the meta and shit, but then we just have Ashimo winning tournaments. And it's just like, it's so crazy to me that everyone's rooting for, like, it's Ryu, dude. It's not even like Kazuya. It's not Terry. It's not any of those guys. Like, it's just so, it's so cool to me. Like, this, you know, true character specialist at the end of the day, I feel like in Ultimate is the way to go. And like, it just really shines out. I mean, you see that with other players like yourself, Gavin, obviously. Even though you've been a character specialist for many different characters, but you've really landed on Diddy Kong mostly at this point, and you've found success where you're like, fuck it, it's not a good matchup for Diddy Kong, but I'm gonna make it work. I'm gonna do my best to make it work. And you found a lot of results like that. You obviously think of Paris in that way too. Light, you know, a lot of different Mia, you know, you gotta get hurt. Like, there's just so many players.
Whoa, don't say Mia there. Sorry, I'm retracting that statement.
Nah, I am. Mia's the GOAT, bro.
Character I am retract. Hey, Mia. You're godlike. You're really good, but I saw that Rob at Genesis, bro. When you bring
hey, up Rob, man, Rob okay.
You are definitely not a solo man. You have sold out, and that's completely fine. All right, and I mean, you sold out on the other two characters before that, but I mean, there's no way you're gonna sit here and tell me that Mia is a one trick, and he's out here like bringing out Pocket Rob against. What was it, like Beast Mode Falls, Sephiroth, or something like that?
I'd say, though, like, for the most part, it's the same thing where maybe he's done some secondaries. He's done Steve, obviously, like, that's happened before. But all of his results are, like, his consistent results are with Game & Watch.
If you flame Mia, you got to flame Gavin.
Gavin.
Here's the thing, though. But Mia knows I just need to get into those top 16s, top 32s, and you bring out the Game & Watch in those situations, right? When you have those matchups that, like, Game & Watch is such a good meta character for the most part, right? So you just need to kind of get to that point. But Mia definitely uses other characters to get to that point. So I mean, I think it's something to note. And even if it just happens here and there, like, Paris sticks it out, man. Like, it's none of this Kanenabe shit where you're picking Min Min. Like,
well, hold on, whoa,
you're over the game. I get it. But like, I can't honorably say that's a like Fox result. Like,
in defense of Kanenabe, if I had to play Raru every fucking tournament, there's no way I'm staying Fox for the rest of my life. There's just no way.
Then
I don't care how dedicated.
Just don't
you
play
are.
The fucking character. Get out of the fucking house. Jesus Christ! Like, Fox is a all in solo character. Like, you're not going to pocket Fox or co-main Fox. Like, that just sounds okay. One, it's just lame. All right, I'm just gonna be biased. And just say it's lame.
Okay.
And
there
then
we go.
Two, right. And then two, it just also doesn't make sense. Like, Fox is a character where you're already all-inning on playing on point. So if you're giving up, like, in my opinion, if you're a competitor and you're already giving up in a sense where you're like, shit, I'm not on point and I'm not going to be able to win the bad matches where I got to play near perfect. And if you're already going into that, you are going into the next match defeated. Like, I can't react. I can't play that well. Like, you already gave up. And then you're like picking your crusty ass secondary that it's like towards the end of the game. There's no way you're catching your secondary up now. Right?
I'm looking at Gavin's face.
I'm being real.
I don't know. You went game five.
I was looking at Gavin's face. It's like,
pretty good.
Okay. And dude, you're losing to Luigi with Min Min? Wow, you think that's good?
Who was saying, when we were talking about it before we went live, that it's not that bad for Min, right?
I don't know how
they don't mind it, surprisingly.
Weirdly, yeah. We did see a lot of things like Nair going through the hands and
shit.
Stuff
maybe
that.
I just don't know ball. That's crazy. Like, is Luigi good against Min Min now? Is that like,
I don't know if he's good,
not
but
good, I but I don't good. Think it's like impossible.
He can deactivate the arms.
Here's my thing. Okay, then you can go in a general sense if we're talking about Kainabe's like lineup in general, right? What's the point? So Fox has realistically two bad really bad matchups where if you are going to counterpick, like, I don't like the idea in Ultimate specifically. I don't like the idea of like, oh, I'm going to play this one character and then the other style, it will just counterpick naturally. Like, no, you can't think generally like that. That's such an outdated way of thinking of like, I'm going to play Pocket Wolf or Pocket Palutena because it at least I'll go even with everyone. Bro, we're 6 years into the game. Ain't no way your Pocket Palutena is going to go even with someone that's been like labbing out fucking K-roll combos for 5 or 6 years. Like, that's just, you're going to get cheesed. You're going to get fucked. Like, there's so many situations that you don't know of that the K-roll knows or whatever, right? Like, if the player diff, like the skill diff is just really large, then sure, right? But for players around your skill level, like, you can't expect that. Like, if you're going to counterpick someone, it needs to be a free matchup. To the point where you're, because you also have to keep your main up to par with everyone else that's grinding all the other relevant matchups, right? So how are you realistically going to have enough time to do all these things? To me, it doesn't make sense. But I just have a lot of value in saying, like, when you pick a character and you can even look at your character and be like, even in a -2 matchup, like, if I play really well, I can win. And I think that does apply to Fox, like against Luigi, against Game & Watch. Like, you can win. You have to play almost near perfect, but why not go for the all-in strategy in a game like Ultimate, where it's like you're playing Fox, who's a ridiculously strong character, obviously fast frame, like hits every top tier check mark you can hit, right? But then you're going to that character's only strong when you are a really good player, right? So why go the backwards route of giving up on yourself playing Fox? You're like, you're giving up on your ability to play this character and bring out the best in it. So that's my mentality of it. I don't think it's necessarily right or wrong. And I mean, maybe picking Min Min for him is better for him and can get him better results. But that's my thought process when thinking about it as someone who's like coached Fox players and have played Fox in different games and this game, like, that's how I feel about it. Cause Ultimate's just so interesting because when I think about counterpicking in Ultimate, it's, you got to make it hurt, man, because you're already so far behind. The game so old. Counterpicking year one or two of the game is so different than picking up a Pocket year six, unless it's Smash 4 and like Cloud is omega easy. Like, Cloud was the Pocket character, and I don't think Ultimate has a character like Cloud where it's like, oh, this character's a copy paste of your fundamentals. If you can space back air, like, and you can juggle with up air, holy shit, your Cloud is already better than you think, right? He's probably your best secondary and you don't even know. But I don't think Ultimate has characters like that.
No, but I think someone like Min Min, so you think of Fox's worst matchups, right? Game & Watch, Luigi, right? Who else? Ice Climbers, right? Throw them in there.
Sure. Like anti-brawlers, mm-hmm. right? That kind of out-DPS you.
I'd
they
say
have like some weird variant. Steve is another one. Yeah, I think Steve is a rough matchup. I don't think I have to explain.
I think Min Min does well against all those characters, and it's not even like you need to. You just need to be good enough. You know what I'm saying? And his for sure is good enough. I mean, he got a win. I believe it was Levi, right? He beat the other Luigi before that. Is that correct? Or am I thinking of someone else?
He's been playing it for a while.
He has been.
And
he's been
practicing for a while. And to note, what's it called? Min Min kind of does well against them. She fake does well. Like, Steve is probably even.
Ah, yes, Pink got me. Yes.
Steve is even. It's almost impossible to hit him. Just, you can't break the blocks well enough.
Yeah.
And then...
Does Megawatt not clear the blocks?
No.
You have to nair them specifically with Megawatt,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
But like, then, like, shooting the arm with, like, Fair or Bear is not good.
It won't go through the box, no.
Because block is the most broken fucking move in the history of Smash Brothers ever.
And then Game & Watch, Mia always farms Dormigi. I don't know if it's like a player-to-player matchup thing or whatever, because Dora did do very well against Meister when Meister was in Japan.
Bro, the Austin sounds impossible. Like, how it does, is impossible. How does Min Min recover? When you think about Min Min recovering, the only retaliation you really have to worry about is Min Min like starting up a Ram swing, like a Ram Fair or Bear, and then jumping with it. So it. Oh.
Uh-oh.
All right, I'm back. All right, so jumping with the Ram there. Oh, see, look at the clean lag transition, all right?
You can just back air through it, so.
Well, right, but usually most characters are threatening some kind of like drop zone against Minmin, or they're trying to shadow something like a rising back air, right? So Minmin can actually defend herself pretty decently. Like, obviously, she still has a pretty trash recovery, but the defense is a lot better than something like a Belmont fighting back offstage, right? Like, there's and Belmont is, I would kind of consider him like, obviously, Minmin's recovery is better, but it's kind of similar what they're going for, right? They're going for like kind of like drop zone tethered to ledge is kind of what they're fishing for.
I think Minmin's is worse sometimes.
Really? Even having the ram ramp? I feel like
I'm including everything.
Because like starting up ram ram and jumping is good, man.
I think there's a lot of scenarios where that the cross is actually better to have than anything.
My influence, bro. My influence.
Random Belmont W.
I did it. Yeah. I made them all.
Game watch hits Minmin. Look at me now. It's truly zero to death. He kind of is like a zero to death character anyway, but versus Minmin, it's like extra simplified.
Yeah, because she doesn't have any
back air and up air, just like
okay. And then Game and Watch, it's just literally three back airs.
Okay, something else to say about Belmont recovery. Up B kind of nice. Like if they try to contest you and you're close enough, you can go high. Minmin doesn't have that.
Oh, kind of like a Roy esque, where like the Roy will up early to like
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, unlike Roy, they don't go forward at all though, and they have no air drift. But
one is better than the other for sure.
It's like using it like an uppercut is correct. Yes, and that's it. Yeah. But yes, not
there. You go, Shoto Brain. It's an uppercut. It's an uppercut.
Belmont's just so good.
He's always uppercutting more.
Huh?
Did we talk about how they're bottom five? By the way,
such a good character. Like,
hey, shout out to Squid Plumber. By the way, before we switch off talking about Belmont, Nick,
hold on. We can't leave Nick out. That was a crazy losers.
Nick District.
Crazy losers run. He beat a lot of people he doesn't normally beat. He was locked in.
Belmont's just so broken, you know?
Bottom five, bro. Is that real? You know what's crazy, though? Every time I talk to, like, you know, you, Gavin, about it, or, like, Aaron or Jackal, they're all like, that's not real. Like, that can't be real. Like, that's just, you're saying they're the same as Ganondorf? There's no way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they can't be bottom five, right? Are we crazy? Bro. Bottom three?
There's no way.
Weren't they third?
I don't know. Come on, I delete that shit from my
They're
memory.
Not bottom three. There's come no
on.
Way.
Come that on. F-Til is too
my
good,
influence,
bro.
Dude. Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Fuck. I want Sephiroth to be able to angle his forward air.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I'm not kidding.
That'd be okay. Just delete them from the game then. What's the point of having them? I guess you might as well if they're fucking bottom
I'm down.
Anyway. What?
Yeah. He's down for the trade,
I'm not carrying you tonight anymore. It's over.
Alucard instead.
Kevin, we need him, man.
Hey, wait, hold on. You need that Metagross. Come on.
We actually need him.
You do so bad.
Yes.
We need
there's definitely a difference in gameplay.
We started playing Unite again. It has not been good.
That game is so garbage.
Okay. I will say, just as someone who's played other Bobas. Yes, at the end of the day, just team games and queuing with random people like in a team game just sucks. Like that experience in itself is just no matter what game you play,
the world is crashing.
That's my main thing: is the game just like doesn't work. Switch 2 will save us though.
Yeah, Switch 2 will save us. Switch 2. Dude,
I don't think it would.
Anyway, yeah, you guys. Jeez. They need to carry so bad, just so you guys understand that. I've been playing solo to get better so I can carry them harder. That's how bad it's gotten, chat. That's how bad it's gotten. I'm playing solo queue to help these guys.
I'm not bad at the game, but I've never, like, improved.
Yeah, I'm kind of...
I'm just, like, permanently mid. God.
Is this what it's like to have a Metafy? hear these lies come out of people's mouths? Deal with it all day?
Wait, what?
Huh? Nothing.
Are you saying
next topic?
So Game & Watch just runs off stage and up B's Minmin, and it's over. GG's.
He does
triple back air.
Parachute shake hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy that
it's a handshake. Okay,
but it's like
into head nod.
The situation is basically forced to, because once you get hit by a single up air, you can't get down.
Yeah.
You
know what?
No, that down air, nice.
You know what? Kananabe's probably just fucking tired of dealing with shit. Like, with Fox, you have to learn a fucked up matchup. It's like, you have to be next to your opponent. Like, that sucks. I think
that's what I'm saying,
I think Kananabe wants to take the route of, like, you know what? If this matchup sucks, I'm not going to be next to my opponent. Actually, I'm going to be across the stage. You hold this shit. Like,
totally, Respectable. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not even necessarily like, wow, Min super wins these matchups. It's like, I need to look at this in a whole different way because I'm not going to win the way I'm playing. You know what I mean? And like, Fox can do that. He can camp, but it's not like, it's not the same, obviously. And you still get grabbed and you die, right? No matter what.
I respectfully can't go out like that. Respectfully. But hey,
so,
I respect
both. That was my thing. I have so many experiments on the side, and then it's like a week before a big tournament. Solo Diddy.
You're like a scientist. The way you said that was super
I'm playing so many characters on the side, or like I'll have like a secondary in mind. Top eight of the bracket comes around.
Solo Diddy.
Diddy Kong only into a 70-30 matchup. Like, I also can't go out like that.
Mm-hmm. What? I can't go out like that mentality.
Depends on when we catch you, bro.
I'll dip my toes into the pool, but that's it. I'm only dipping my toes.
Okay, a topic I want to bring up. All right, let's talk about matchups.
Oh boy. Okay?
Let's talk about matchups. So, What has opened up the podcast with is Osimo's run, and I feel like as of recently, as a viewer in Ultimate, the only appeal there is to a stream is when shit not meta character is trying to defeat all the evil meta characters in the game, and they're all hard matchups. Like, I just feel like there's so many tournaments where I'm like, okay, if Paris or Gavin want to do well, they just have to win a bunch of -2 matchups and then they win the tournament or whatever. Yay! And then if not, it's like, oh no, a meta character won, like Steve, Sonic, Game & Watch, right? Like, to me, that's what the viewing experience feels like, where it's like there's these blatantly obvious overtuned characters that you're looking on the screen. Like, if you have watched Smash before, you can just blatantly tell these characters are super broken. And then there's this lesser character that's coming in, and it's like, oh man, like, if this character does this, this, and this at this perfect timing, then he gets 3 damage. Whoa! And then, like, and then you watch this, like, spectacle of someone doing all this crazy shit in a -2 matchup and then, like, winning the tournament. It's like, crazy. Like, that to me, that's like the peak viewership experience of Ultimate, and that's how it's set up, where it's like the evil meta characters versus like the honest hardworking, like, Halo over their head characters that are like probably cheesing you at 50 anyway. Bro. Right,
totally. I mean, that's, I would say, go ahead, Gavin, sorry.
I had a realization practicing last night with Jackal, and I didn't say it out loud.
I hope you're going to say it out loud now.
I'm
what a teaser.
Carried by Diddy Kong.
Damn, he finally admitted it. Holy shit.
Bro, I thought it was going to be something.
Welcome to the team, bro. We all do. Come on.
Yeah, what? I think.
I can't do anything else with my existence.
No.
I'm carried by Diddy Kong.
That's Sephiroth Krusty.
Bro, I was.
I know it has caused this.
I can't remember what day it was. It was like a week or two ago. I was watching your stream. You were playing Wario, and you were just raging, bro.
Yep. I was gonna say this is Wario's.
I can't
bro.
Play this. I don't know what's going on. Like, I can't. I'm dropping everything. Like, I was like, bro.
What? I need a banana stat.
Wario
he
did this.
Sucks
to you. I know
so
that.
Bad. Dude, and he might be the worst online character of all fucking time. Holy
Wario?
Shit.
Wario?
Me and Gluto were talking about it a little bit. I was like, bro, is this character trash online? And he was like, yes, extremely. I was like, yes. Like, I can, like, feel slightly better.
So are you carried still or what? What does this mean?
Oh, I'm carried very hard.
Cool.
I have no other choice in life. It's not that I don't want to go out in a different way. I have no choice.
Bro, look at what you're fighting in the game, man. Like, I
have no choice. I can only play as Diddy Kong until the next, like, Smash. And the thing
what
is,
are we,
you're like, pretty I'm all worried, in at this point, yes.
I'm worried that the next Smash will come out and the Diddy Kong curse will continue.
No. No.
It's not impossible. It's not a 0% chance.
You're Omega selling out at the next Smash game, bro. Like,
don't catastrophize, Gavin.
I'm
don't.
Selling yes. out so quickly.
Yes.
I'm
like,
not,
what
I'm
is
not,
it?
I'm not.
Yes,
you are.
You so are.
Dude, when
Nope.
When y'all did that LG video, banger video, by the way. I think that was the first time I watched something. I was like, oh, this is really enjoyable. But
was it the Meister Sonic?
I was trying to just not be confrontational.
Why? It's funny when you are.
Because they were arguing about stuff.
You're good at arguing, though.
You are. You should have locked
in. I mean, they're 0% or 100%, though, and they're not ready for 100%.
You almost got to 100%.
Give them a cool 80. Give them a cool 80. Funny.
They were disrespecting my accomplishments. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, but you got to get... Look, man.
That poor priority win from Sonics was nice.
It was.
Super nice.
He was saying, like, Mia Akula. I was like, sheesh.
Yeah, Mia Akula for a tournament win. That's tough to beat, is what I'll say about that.
Yeah, I mean, that Mars Genesis run was...
That shit was
lit. That's number one. That's goated. I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. That's prime Leo times two.
Sorry, Gavin.
Sorry, big Gav.
My own fucking podcast, bro.
Sorry, Gavin, but that summit was number two. Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. Yeah.
2019 Leo was some shit, bro. 2019 Leo was...
Is summit even my best win?
What would you say is your best win if not summit?
I don't care. I don't know.
I don't care.
I think it's summit.
It's summit.
I don't know. A lot of them just feel close together. It's all the same shit.
Except Summit had a ridiculously huge prize pool, and it was like the rebirth of the competitive.
I was going to say culturally, yeah, that was you and Mars winning those tournaments is culturally like.
Yeah, do people not remember that the first Frostbite is that like long gone?
No, that was big, but Summit's bigger.
Summit's bigger, yeah. The prize pool is bigger.
Shouts to beating Paris at the first Frostbite. GG.
You can only the problem is you can only choose one best tournament is the thing, and Summit's definitely better than that.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
Yes, definitely. The prize pot, the culture impact, bro.
Your actual like run once the bracket started, because you were struggling in pools, but once bracket started,
sometimes I forget about that.
Really,
you were locked in when bracket started.
When bracket started, I was just killing people with down air over and over and over.
That was
buried by Diddy Kong once again. The YouTube comments were right all along.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what I say, dude. Like, new casters that come up, they're like, don't worry, I don't read Twitch chat at all. I'm like, bro, I'd be reading Twitch chat. Sometimes they bring up good points. You just gotta know. You can't be a dummy. You gotta be able to read them and be objective and be like, this person's an idiot, or this person's a hater, or this person's kind of no ball. I'm like, maybe that's a good little thing to look out for.
I'll never forget the comment that said, all Tweak do is run Banna, run XD.
Oh, that was me.
that was Haz's burner.
No, I did it on main, actually. True.
Run, also, Bale, run.
Gavin, you're like one of the few people who could beat Leo more than once and it not seem like a fleek. So maybe Genesis doesn't seem that out of control, because like
I don't even remember that tournament too well, but I know the grand finals was cool.
What, Genesis? True.
That's what? Yeah.
I don't think I did well, so I was out.
You did.
True.
We should watch it.
True.
I watched Grand Finals.
Great Grands. That was a really good set, man.
The most exciting 3-0 you'll ever see.
I liked his pop-off 3-0.
He had a great pop-off, man.
His pop-off was cool.
You could see me in the front row, too, if you look. I was sitting right there. I was sitting with him
between
matches, yeah. He has great pop-offs, yeah. It'd be nice to see him get one again, for real.
Tyler.
Yeah, what? Go, man.
Like, get one what? Like a tournament win?
Yeah, like a big pop off, you know, moment and stuff. He had one at Smash.
Yeah, one like last year.
Bro,
yeah,
don't gaff.
He degaff. Yeah. He's not in it to win it, which is fine.
I wish he did gaff.
I know.
He'd still be locked in.
I think we wish for him to come back. Like,
we wish for him to gaff, but he probably doesn't need to gaff.
He will never gaff.
He doesn't know. I don't even think
he's going to Japan. He just don't.
No,
gaff.
He's not. I asked him, and I was like, I don't know why I asked you. Like, you're definitely not.
He's gonna watch it. Actually, he might not even watch it. Like,
damn, he's really don't.
No, he's definitely gonna farm it for content for sure. That's happening
after the fact, in between Iron Man runs.
Dude, I can't believe I'm gonna go to Japan, and I'm just gonna see like Jackal and Syrup and like what?
Yeah, dude. Can we talk about it? So obviously Battle BC coming up. I'm so excited. Yeah,
bro, just ascended.
Going to Japan. Yo,
the Holy Land
comes through.
It's here, bro.
This is after I realize I'm
Carried, you're enlightened.
He's enlightened. Oh, holy shit. Jesus. For the audio listeners, there's a beaming light.
Yeah, it's very strange. It was like dark.
How it feel to not gaff?
Yeah.
It was dark. I'm carried by Diddy. I don't gaff.
It was dark and cloudy behind him the entire time until he said he was carried, and then suddenly the light broke and everything changed. Insane. Yeah, so Battle of BC, I'm super excited for. Great tournament. I wish I could go. I love that tournament so much. It's a pain in the ass to get to from where I live. I'd love to go one more time. I love that tournament in that city. I think it's great. We had a great time doing live tweet talks there a few years ago. I love that tournament. I hope you have a good time, Gav. I'll be watching. Obviously, you guys will be too. I obviously, Level Up Expo is going to be insane, which is so weird to say about a con tournament, especially because, like, how did the fact that Kagaribi stole the thunder from Level Up after Level Up is like the biggest tournament of all time is like, it's just so ridiculous that we have these three tournaments back to back to back. It's like, it's going to be amazing. And Kagaribi, like, the fact that I'm so happy, Serp's like confirmed, right? Like, is that a thing? Like, I'm pretty sure that that's a thing, right?
That's like,
is
that
sure?
When you talk about people who can change a whole fucking bracket, that is one of those people. And I'm so excited to see Sora play in Japan.
Got the guy winning.
Hey! There you go. Go,
Sierra
go.
Zamba.
Yes.
Is Zamba going to Japan?
I would imagine.
Probably. He goes like everything, bro.
He goes like, yeah.
I could ask him, but...
And he does well against Japanese players, like, typically, which is really good. So, we'll see, man.
That kid is good.
I remember, dude, I forget what set we were watching.
He don't gaff.
But at one point, no, he doesn't. Like, to his own detriment, he doesn't sometimes, for sure. But I was going to say, I forget we were watching a set, and you just, at one point, Marcus, you go, dude, he can fucking play some Smash Bros. We were watching, I think it was a ledge trapping sequence that he did.
He's never incorrect, ever.
Yeah.
I hate that about Zamba
so much. He gets at least 20
extra damage per interaction because he guesses right 2 times after the true combo. Or he kills you.
That shit ain't guessing, bro. He knows. He's different.
Somehow he knows. It's funny, bro.
What's funny? Elaborate.
Jude and I were talking about, like, when he gets when he gets angry and he, like, locks in, he does gyro laser down tilt nair exclusively the rest of the set.
I mean, pretty good.
All those moves sounded very good.
That what you said, I pictured a W as you said that. I was like, okay, yeah.
Dude, don't piss him off because he'll never interact with you again.
That's good.
Ever.
Yep. That's
the way to play, dude. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
He's low key the best, high key the best Rob with like just spacing the neutral air. And it is so obnoxious, dude.
He's just the best Rob, period.
Bro, he just does this thing where like he simplifies the game to such a ridiculous degree that you question like what is going on. Like, he'll be edgeguarding you, and he's like, okay, gyro cover here, forward air cover this, and, like, somehow you die? It's like, he's just pointing the buttons in the in covering directions, and I'm dead.
Yeah.
It's like, but, okay, you rolled, I'm already turned around, I'm down tilting. Oh, you jumped for, like, 1 frame, up tilt's already out. Like, he's just covering, he's just pointing the yellow stick
at the
in the right direction.
Yeah, it's a combo character thing, but there's 1,000 Robs out there, and his ability to make the game look that simple and
yeah.
act upon it is incredible. Like, if that is not
he's easy the best do. Rob with F-Tilt as well.
Good move.
Yep, shot. Zamba F-Tilt, bro.
Like, I remember a few years ago, he just opened my eyes to that move because he did, like, down-tilt, boosted F-Tilt, kill confirm, and I was like, what? but yeah, he just... uses one projectile to cover up, second projectile to cover down, and then he covers the middle with his body. And I'm just like, why is Diddy Kong getting edgeguarded by this strategy? Like, just cover up and down? That's it?
Yeah.
It's a good strategy.
But yeah, he simplifies the game and never guesses wrong. He doesn't mess up execution stuff. He is such a tri-state player, and that's my favorite part about it. It is like such a tri-state thing to just like, yeah, never guess wrong, always never mess up, very simple. It feels like so, it just makes so much sense with like the history of our area. Yeah, that's yeah. about it. He never messes up. It's also funny because he got like 5th last night, which is like pretty bad for him, but we're still talking about this. But yeah, Gaigai and Syrup, they play all the time, and they just kill each other at zero.
Gaigai's a good Luigi, by the way, for those who aren't in the know. Very good Luigi.
Very
for those
good
who
Luigi.
Who aren't in the know.
Their sets are just pure chaos. They go back and forth. Lots of game fives and stuff. Like 5-minute sets. It's funny. Yeah. I didn't even know about this tournament, but me and Jack were watching it. And a couple of, I think Haz was in there. Yeah, lots of, it feels like that's every weekend. Just regional, a few regional size things, a lot of stuff to keep up with. Maybe Japan stuff.
Yeah, because Hurt, we didn't
talk about Hurt coming over and doing well. Mute Ace doing well too. So love seeing Mute do well. Got a W with the pre-local, close sets. Always good to see Mute play well.
Yeah, he's been playing well lately, I would say.
Definitely.
Yeah. He beat Sonics. He beat Meister twice.
Hard matchups. Again, the hero character just trying to get through all these cringe matchups.
Too bad. He ran into the evil meta character, Diddy Kong.
Yeah.
evil meta character.
Carried ass players. Yeah.
I'm a tier list, man. I can't act like I'm a hero. I'm not a hero.
Especially in
this game. You're not a hero?
He's eighth on the tier list, bro. I'm not a hero.
Your character is not that good.
Fox that is also is... top 10. Light is not a hero. He's the villain, bro.
Light is the villain, yeah.
I'm like scary, kind of bro. On board with top 10 with Fox, but like I'm kind of not, but I don't know. I feel like even if you dropped Fox, it's not even that relevant. Like even if you say Fox is top 15 instead of top 10. It's
Luigi
like,
and Olimar are better than Cloud.
It's just weird because that was the thing. I mean, the whole matchup thing, Gavin. So when you enter a P-plus tier tournament, would you say you are fighting more losing matchups than winning matchups? Like, do you feel overall in the current landscape of the meta, if you ever make a run, do you think it's always that? But, like, you have a lot of data to work on.
I think going into Kagaribi, I predict I will play more losing matchups than winning matchups.
Okay. And how would you say, like, the last year of your tournament experience, like, do you think you overall play like around 50-50 more hard matchups?
Maybe closer to 50-50. Yeah.
You think so?
You think it's closer?
Okay. What
I would love to hear you guys' opinions on this.
I guess it depends on like what part of
Diddy Kong player. So
what part of bracket we're talking about? Because I feel like, yeah, if you include your first like three rounds, sure, you're probably fighting somebody on, I don't know, Bowser or something. But like, I feel like once you hit like that top 64, top 32 in those P tiers.
Even top 128 at these P tiers. Like yeah, you're starting to fight some.
You do get some fortunate rolls.
What was my last big one? Like Genesis?
Like big one?
Yeah.
Genesis? Yeah, I think so.
What are your fortunate rolls? Because I feel like
Genesis
before
had,
like, one of the
Corrin.
Like sword characters, maybe, but not even that, because Cloud's can looks pretty rough too. Like Corrin is
like even, yeah.
Okay, like win. Another even, and then what? Like other characters, like Corrin, you probably beat. But I just feel like when you first picked up Diddy, it was the whole premise of it was like, holy shit, Diddy is good against Paulo and Joker, which was like insanely good back then. Obviously, those two characters are, I mean, they're like still relevant, but not as like relevant in these like top 16, top 8s. As we used to see them, right? So what is a good role for Diddy Kong? Like I'm genuinely curious.
Genesis,
Bayonetta.
Because it feels like there's more bad roles than good roles.
It's weird.
Roy, Bayonetta,
Donkey Kong.
If I can't say Pokemon trainer, I don't see that character at all. I just don't see the character. Like
scared me, bro.
Come on, bro. Like
that matchup good.
Yeah.
Rob? Okay, I found top 64 of Genesis. I played against Bowser Jr. Cool. I played against Hero. Not cool. Not
okay.
Cool.
Bad roll.
Lost.
That's bad. That is a bad roll.
Played against
Beast Mode Goat though. True.
Played against Rosalina. Bad roll.
Bad roll. Whoa, okay. What's next?
Yeah, that's two weird matches.
Against
that's...
Pikachu.
Thoughts?
Debatable, but I think it's a good
close to even.
I think it's good.
Okay.
I think Diddy Kong beats Pikachu.
I think that's good, yes.
Most people think I'm a psychopath.
I mean, it matters how you feel about the matchup.
Wario, right? Bad roll.
Bad roll. So three, okay. Three bad rolls.
Top eight, good rolls. Olimar, bad roll.
Four bad rolls and two
good rolls. I am very good at this matchup. That is the first time I've lost a Shutan ever.
What about last year's top eight? Did you get any bad matchups in that one?
Yeah, think of one.
I played only bad matchups.
I don't know.
I played against Pac-Man and I defeated him, and my reward was Fox. And I defeated him, and then my reward was an even matchup, and I lost.
I don't know, just from hearing your experiences and Paris's experience
is almost all winning matchups from what I remember.
Okay.
Well,
but it's fun to watch, so is it truly a good role?
I'm very curious what you think.
I think Diddy Kong beat Game & Watch, because I lose more than I win. So
why do you think Diddy's good against Game & Watch?
I know. I don't see it, bro.
I'm starting to question it. I don't know.
Because if it's Monkey Flip, I feel like you can react to Monkey Flip with Upbeat, right? Like, because having a dashing forward command grab is like
better. My neutral is better. The big problem is I think I underestimate Bucket.
Yeah.
Bucket's good.
He gets so close to me in neutral because I have to, like, respect Bucket. Mm-hmm. But
it's a pretty big deal. Because then if he's close to you, then he sets up, like, him running up to you and shielding, which sounds like a really good situation. Are
fantastic tools versus Game & Watch.
Because can you even down tilt Game & Watch shield without getting upbeat?
There has to be a spacing you can.
There's a spacing.
But, like, are your arms still out after the hitbox? And, like, how fast did he retract his arms back? Like, that's the kind of stuff that matters. I can down tilt,
I think, sometimes.
I don't know for sure, but visualizing it, I think it's fine.
I think it's fine.
From max distance.
But... yeah, I kind of get zero to death because I don't have air mobility.
Right. Like, I just feel like you get hit once and then, like, you really just hope that your monkey flip can get you out of the up air, right? Like, get you, like, so up air's not under
you. He's so light, though. Like, if I down tilt kills him at 100, banana kills him at 100, sometimes earlier for banana, like. But, like, I can go under the stage and stuff. None of it is, like, none of it, like, wins me the match immediately, but it's all better than a lot of other characters' options. So I just feel like I've also never been too big on Game & Watch in general. In my head, I still don't think he should be doing as well as he does. But I think I underrate him quite a bit.
Dude, just look at the numbers, man. I know there's some characters where you don't want to accept that, where it's just like, he can't just be that overtuned. Like, he is just that overtuned, man. Like, what you get out of something that's
Diddy Kong is so good at two framing him too. So good at it.
Really?
Yeah. F tilt is just so active.
So you feel like when you play the matchup, it's like you have all the tools necessary. It's not like, oh, this thing's shutting down this thing. I mean, it sounds like the only thing is the down special, right?
I just jump too much.
Yeah, okay. You did monkey flip in some weird spots and disadvantage.
Yeah, it's a good matchup, man. I swear.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's valuable. That's very to say that you can beat Game & Watch is a very valid, or at least like you feel confident in your character's tools against Game & Watch, whether it's right or wrong. I think that's a very important aspect in today's meta.
Somebody said that, was it Syrup? Syrup said that Diddy Kong Steve was even now. I don't know if it's that's Gavin's that influence, but
it's not that bad. There's worse. Even Diddy Kong players are like pretty good about it. Like mentally, they don't think it's that bad. I don't think
you do well against Min Min.
Yeah, Diddy Kong destroys Min Min. Holy shit! Yeah,
if Diddy actually goes even with Steve, then Diddy sounds pretty OD.
He's broken, bro. It's like
I don't think he's up.
Versus Steve, versus Syrup, I either like win and he doesn't get a chance to play, or I lose and I don't get a chance to play. It's so annoying. I don't know what's going on.
I'm playing modern Yu-Gi-Oh. The game's over on the first talk.
I 3-0 him or he 3-0s me. Like, there's been some close stuff, but like, there's so many sets where I'm just like, why do they go the way they go? I just don't know.
I mean, it is pretty good. Like, I'm looking at it.
He's so broken, dude.
That he does okay against Steve, does okay against Sonic.
He's good against Sonic.
To say you go even with Sonic is like pretty, it's a pretty insane statement. That's like
worst.
Come at worst. Like, come on.
Well, here's the thing, because if Gavin's saying that, even if he's wrong, it's like slight disadvantage. Like, that's still impressive versus Sonic. Sonic fucking invalidates motherfuckers.
He does not lose to Sonic. He just doesn't.
Well,
dang, so your character sounds really good, Yevon.
That's how he can get carried so well.
He might do well against Nate. We'll see.
No, he does not.
Oh, see, that's a big L.
Meta. Beasley was locked in.
Yeah, I was.
That's a Beasley, dude.
Beasley was locked in.
We're all Beasley fans. He rules.
I need to figure out Hero, man. That's a problem.
Well, yeah. No.
Oh, Gavin, I wanted to ask this last podcast, but I didn't ask the question. So, are you going to grind the Hero menu in Japanese? Because if you fight a Hero player in Japan, you're just run up shield.
Yeah.
Jump. Run up shield. Okay.
Jump is good.
Jump.
Got it, dude.
I forgot who said that.
Fighting in a different country and going up against a Hero and you can't read the menu sounds one of the, so messed up, dude.
I can't remember who it was, and it was a while ago. One of the Japanese players, when they came over to America, they said that it didn't matter if
you
or not. You just jump when you see it.
Yeah.
You guys should gentleman to like Spanish or something. Like
I might do better. I honestly might do better if I can't read it. And I'm not trolling.
You might.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah,
Gavin is positive on Hero in Japan, but in America, when he can read the menu, he actually gets.
You better start hitting those menus, bro. Over here, you play Beast Mode Paul next time. You better be slapping the thing over to French or something, Francais. All
right, how about we both can't read the menu? You down?
I think that's cool.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
Dude, I can't wait. This month is gonna be so good. Like, I've been having a blast just watching, like, and there's been some really good tournaments going on, like Gavin said, a lot more like regional type events and all the other stuff, but I've been loving it, man. It feels like Ultimate, you know, is like I said at the beginning, like we kind of get a little doomer with it, but at the same time, I don't know, I've been having fun as a spectator, bro. I really have been. There have been some really fun results, some great newer players to kind of watch, you know.
Yeah,
mostly Tri-State I've been having fun watching. Shout outs to Maine in New England. They had their biggest Smash Ultimate tournament ever last weekend. So it's like, you know, maybe we feel some sort of way about it, but I feel like Ultimate's doing pretty damn well in general. Like, it's just, I don't really know how to explain that either, because if you really talk to anyone who's been around for a while, it's like, yeah, it feels like the meta's kind of getting stale, or it feels like, you know, we've been here for a while. We're ready for a new game, I think is like the general consensus, right? But it also feels like the game's growing, or at least, I don't know, maybe it's like confirmation bias. Like, I'm just kind of seeing it happen.
Relevant.
Locally. Yeah, it is very much. Like, I don't know if I want to say it's growing. I guess we'd have to check major numbers, but it feels like at the regional level, it's doing well, which is interesting, because that's the thing everyone always said, like, broken top tiers will kill the regional level. Yeah. Like, no one will want to go to regionals and stuff, which so far does not seem to be true, which is interesting. But I don't know. I think we're at – I keep using the word interesting. I think we're at, like, a key time – in Ultimate, where it's like, because who the hell knows what's going to happen in 8 days, 9 days, whenever this podcast goes live.
Yeah, we're single-digit days away from the Switch 2 Direct.
Holy moly.
And I said this, the way I phrased it to Gavin, basically. I love talking to Gavin about this stuff because he's like a true conspiracy theorist when it comes to, like,
it's amazing.
Like, it's insane. Like, his knowledge on this is crazy. So, but it's like, do you really think, like, we're going to get Smash news in a week? You know, like, do we really? And I said, if you had to put, like, $20,000 on it, you know what I mean? Like, you had to do it. Like, would you say yes or no? And like, that's how I'm like, that's how you'll know if you really think it's happening or not. Like, you have to put some good money on it.
No.
Yeah, I'd say no too, for sure.
I still think it's very possible, but
yeah, but what would you give it? Like 70-30 or something? Like 80-20? I don't even know about that.
70-30 is reasonable, I think. I've been saying 70-30.
I feel like that shit's not happening.
And it increases exponentially for the second presentation if it's not there.
Yes, of course. Yeah, of course.
I feel like if we get it something with Smash within the first announcement for the Direct or whatever, or for the Switch 2, it's like that means Smash is going to be a launch title. So I feel like if you think it's going to be a launch title,
it will be a launch title.
Exactly, right?
I think the console will come out literally like 2 months or less after the presentation. So,
oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ready to grab one of them?
It'll be very quick.
Someone said too, like the trend, and I think looking at trends is good. It's all you really can do is look at the data and the past trends and all that stuff. That's great. But Nintendo kind of plays by, I say this all the time, but they play by their own rules. And you never know if it's like, yeah, they're going to follow the trends exactly how they do it. Or maybe they're just going to do something you did not expect at all. And maybe there is a Smash announcement.
Yeah.
It comes out tomorrow and now we all need to start playing the new game. Unlikely, but Nintendo's crazy. You never know.
That would be lit.
That would be so lit, wouldn't it? What was I going to say? So you just never really know like what to expect with these types of things. And just, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Yeah, I'm excited either way because I'm really enjoying where Ultimate is. I mean, that being said, obviously I don't compete like every day or whatever or anything like that. But as a spectator, a commentator, and someone who really enjoys the game and the scene, I'd be staying up watching these tournaments, man. That's all I gotta say. I've been enjoying a lot of players' journeys, and it's been fun to watch, at least from where I am. So, and it's only gonna get better in these next couple weeks with these huge tournaments coming up. So. I think, Charles, like what you said about the narrative, and which is obviously something we think about as commentators all the time. Yes, there's like hero characters or players, kind of, but it's always just like, I feel like that's just a byproduct of a competitive entertainment product. You know what I mean? Like this year in baseball, like, are the Dodgers going to win again? They're kind of like the big bad guys right now who, like, they're supposed to win, right? And that's not.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I'm just saying, I'm being honest when I watch a tournament. Like, that's kind of how it feels to me.
Oh, I'm going to bed, bro. If Ashimo doesn't do well, that I'm going to bed. Like, there's no way. Ashimo, and like, obviously, a couple. I was enjoying watching Raru too. Like, there's context to it, but I do think that's important to think about as we.
And I think that is there is a layer of like, I am very impressed as someone who's followed and watched Smash and competed in Smash throughout like multiple games and just like a huge fan of the game. It is still very impressive when I watch players. You know, play matchups that are -2 and they play it really well. And it usually has to involve the other player making some mistakes, but like, that's just the way it is. No one plays perfect. And seeing all that combined with all these really crazy tight scramble situations, the nerves kicking in, it's still amazing to watch. I still have a great time, but I'm not going to sit here and lie and be like, I am going to sit here and watch Game & Watch Sonic or like Game & Watch Sonic or like Sonic Steve or Two Steves just mining or whatever. Like that, there's a certain point of when I think for me personally, something that makes me not want to watch Smash is when not interacting becomes too powerful. I think playing slow and taking your time, I think that is completely justified. But when the reward feels like, oh, this person gets so much out of not interacting, it feels overwhelming. I think that is where a lot of people watching might have a little disdain towards the game, right? Where it's just like, sure. Okay, I'm not really watching two great minds interact with each other in these situations where this player has these tools and this player has these tools. It's like, no, this other player is actively building a wall and keeping the other person out and like just mining resources. And he's like, he's playing a scaling character. If you've ever played like a MOBA or anything like that, imagine playing a scaling character and the weakness of the scaling character is, oh, hey, I'm weak early game. Like I'm supposed to get bullied. But then to compensate for that, the character's like, actually, I'm going to like make it so you can't even affect me early game. And I just scale and you have to like put yourself in these really disadvantageous positions to go ahead and like hit me or essentially progress the game and stop me from scaling, right? But then on top of that, it's like, actually, I am super strong because I still have wood combos and all this other stuff. Like, it just, there's certain points where when I see something that's like severely overtuned, it kind of takes away from the excitement of like, oh my goodness, he smacked them with Diamond F Smash at 40 and won. Like, it's hard for me to get excited for that. You know what I mean? Like there are moments where that is clutch and it's cool. And I've seen people get cheesed at 50 in other ways. That's not just a singular Smash attack. But when you break down like how good Diamond Smash attack is on Shield and you can even do it like back to back. So I've seen some players like they get Diamond F Smash and they're trying to drop Shield and run away. And then they get hit by another Diamond F Smash. Like I'm not getting hyped for that. That's whack. Like the other player was trying to get away and still dies. Right. So I think, I'm going to be honest when I talk about Ultimate, right? And I do think there is still a great balance. And in terms of like how deep we are into the game, we're 6 years deep into the game. I'm sure all of us have experienced like the ending times of Brawl, the ending times of Smash 4. And we don't have the next Smash game announcement. That's usually the nail in the coffin when local, you know, numbers start dropping and people kind of look at that time frame to be like, oh, I'm going to go catch up on my game library. I'm going to take a break from Smash, do some other stuff, and then the next Smash game will come around. That's like, we're very close to that era, but it is surprising how much it's growing. Like that collegiate event I went to had over 70 entrants, and for a Hawaii regional, that's insane. The game is still growing, and I think I am impressed with that, and I think there is a lot, we have a lot more people in the community that still enjoy, like, I might not enjoy watching Steve a lot, but I mean, I still respect that is the game, you know what I mean? And at the end of the day, like sometimes there's really cool meta characters that are in the meta, right? Those are good times. Sometimes there's other anti-meta characters or characters that get rewarded for not interacting, right? So, I mean, it's not always going to be a fun meta to watch. And, I mean, there's a bunch of different matchups in Ultimate, too. Like, there's so many characters in this game that you still get to see. So, and I do still think that even though, like, when you watch Akola specifically, there's a layer of interest, not within the character, but, like, this is the best Steve player. So you're almost, like, you get to see these other players. Like, I don't play the game as much anymore, but I still love watching watching Light fight against someone like Akola. And it's like, these are the two best representations of the character. Like, I want to see how the matchup plays out because, like, I have all these things I'm thinking about. It's still very interesting to see how it unfolds. And yes, there's like a combination of like the human aspect of it. They're not playing perfect, but it is still very fun and exciting because if Akola does lose, it's like, holy shit, this guy beat the best Steve with this character. Like, that's something, you know what I mean? And at least we still get to experience it and it's not like super oversaturated. I think eventually we might get to that point, but there's other things in the community that we can do if we feel like Steve is out of hand. Like, I've seen people throw around, like, obviously we talked about the stage stuff last week, and then the putting a handicap on Steve is so crazy. Like, we're gonna nerf this character by ourselves. I don't know about that one, but I think there are other things that we can kind of rediscover or rethink back on, because even the idea of grouping stages together, like triplat, single plat, because Steve, I feel like it's kind of hard to manipulate what materials you're going to fight against Steve, right? So it's like, I think always having multiple layouts of wood stages, for example, could be a thing, or mixed stages, metal stages, yada yada. So I think, again, I will leave that to the experts of the game that like know which stages Steve is good or bad on, right? Because there's also, you got to think about like, oh, what is Steve mining with? If he's mining with pickaxe, the pickaxe can break while mining. Or if he's mining with hatchet, which is like up tilt up air on the stage, that can break while mining. So there's like certain points where it's like, oh, if you let the Steve mine and then the hatchet breaks and the mine and the crafting table's on your side, they have to either respawn one, which costs material, or they have to get to the crafting table, right? So like, I still think the Steve anti or counterplay meta is still, there's still more to be discovered or whatnot. But yeah, I think overall the game is in a really good spot. It's still growing. It's still amazing. And that's even taking into consideration what the meta is now. So to me, it's even more impressive because seeing the specific meta characters that are meta, and it's like we're still getting this much viewership, this much growth. I mean, viewership in Japan is crazy right now. It's rapidly growing and they're like doing more and more tournaments, right? So the game's in a really good spot. And as someone who's been through different life cycles of different Smash games, Ultimate is doing a phenomenal job from start to finish. The only weird thing was COVID, but that's it. I mean, other than COVID, I think COVID killed a lot of our momentum because it was during the craziness of Fighter Pass 2. Like, we got some of the hypest characters ever in Smash, and it was all online, right? Like, we didn't really get to experience, like, oh, this is going to be the first big offline tournament with Steve or with Sora and all this other stuff like we did with Fighter Pass 1. So to me, that's the only thing looking back that I wish we didn't have to deal with. But, like, obviously there was more important things going on during that time and more important things to worry about during COVID rather than just, like, Smash Brothers, right? Like, it was a global pandemic.
Starting a great podcast, for example.
True. Damn, we did start that during
COVID. We did. That is something very nice that came out of COVID for all of us, I think. I was going to say, too, the meta is what it is. The characters are what they are. And the watching experience is what it is. I think it's like really the community, and again, we say it every week, but the global presence of the game, man, it's just interesting to watch so many different play styles and players and care. And like, there's just more to talk about because there's more. I feel like we were so secluded or like so kind of pigeonholed when it came to old Smash games, even Smash 4. We weren't as worldly as we are in Ultimate, not even close, actually. I'd say like 2GG did a great job trying to bring over more Japanese players and representation and stuff, and they did a really good job, especially for the time. But what we have now is like whole different ecosystems and shit, man. Like, there's different universes, and I think that's why Kagaribi, you know, blew up very naturally. Is like, this is where we go to play Smash Ultimate. It's so cool, and I think we haven't really had that before, where it's like you got to leave the United States to play against like the best brackets and shit. Like, it's just really compelling, and I don't know, I just love it, man. I think it's cool. Like you said, it's the historic meta and all that stuff. Yeah, it is historic. Yeah, that's
a great I really like. I'm so sad because I have work in Guam, so unfortunately I can't go to Kagaribi, but I really wanted to go. I commentated a Kagaribi a couple years ago. It was an amazing experience. And like, just thinking back on Japan's past within the community, this is the first time the most stacked Smash event in like throughout multiple Smash games, like every Smash game involved, this is the first time the most stacked Smash tournament for a singular title will be in Japan. That's a big deal, man. And like, I know right now it can be a little frustrating with how rankings are working if you are a player that doesn't live in Japan. I know obviously that kind of sucks right now, but Japan did really work hard and they were at a huge disadvantage from the get-go, like thinking all the way back in Brawl. So that community has really stayed strong and they deserve every bit of advantage they have now because they worked so hard to get there, right? And even like the way that the community is managing their content, like they have built an incredible ecosystem, and doing that through like a grassroots scene in a esport that is like not directly connected with the developer, that is incredibly impressive. So like that, it's amazing that we even have tournaments. Like the most stacked tournament of this game is 6 years into the game. That is fucking crazy. Like amazing, that doesn't dude, happen. Yeah. That does not happen. It's always like the really first big like Genesis or Evo or whatever, right? Like those are usually the biggest bracket sizes and like how stacked an event is. It's always within that first year of the game release. But the fact that this is happening 6 years into the game and it's in Japan, incredibly historic. Shout outs to the Japan community to even build it up to the point like that you can do this deep into the game, man. It's just absolutely incredible.
Can't wait.
That's well said.
Yeah.
Gav?
Yeah, once again, if anyone's interested in any bonus content, I do VOD review and we do bonus content on the Patreon. And if you want to be a YouTube member, it's accessible there. Thank you so much for supporting the show as always, and have a good one.